Good to have everyone back. We've got some visitors. We know that the Florida College Camp is going on this week, and people that have brought their kids down that are here with us tonight, we welcome you. We thank you for coming in. As we are continuing our series here on Sunday nights, we've been in the Proverbs, and we've looked at several different things. We looked at our work ethic, as the proverb speaks about the way in which we ought to work. We looked at our words. And now tonight, what we're going to do is we changed the subject actually a little bit because I knew that we might have those coming in from the camp here. And what's amazing is, of all the things that the Proverbs talk about, the Proverbs speak a lot about some big topic issues. The Proverbs have a lot to say about work. They have a lot to say about wisdom, a lot to say about, you know, alcohol or marriage and faithfulness. But what amazed me is the depth and the material in which the Proverbs go into talking about friendship and our relationships with one another. And there are so many directions that we could go with this study. And if we talked about everything that the Proverbs said about friendship, we would only be able to say a very, very little about a whole lot. And I decided to go a different direction than that tonight. We're going to try to say a little bit more about a little less. We're going to narrow our discussion as what the Proverbs cover in regards to friendship. But as we begin this is the question that I want us to ask. And that is, what kind of a friend am I? And we would like to think of ourselves, all of us would like to think of ourselves as someone who is a good friend to someone else, especially to those that we love and care about. And naturally, within our own friendships, we have periods where those relationships are more difficult, and you have to cultivate those, and you have to work through difficulties and grow together, and usually that makes your relationship stronger, doesn't it? And we've all been there before, where we look in our past, and perhaps we have not been the kind of friend to others that maybe they've been to us. And we've been convicted about that, and we've felt strongly about that, and that we want to make changes about that. And so as we look in our study tonight about the Proverbs, we're going to see a lot about what the Lord, through the wisdom of Solomon here, encourages us in regards to the way in which we're going to treat other people. And this is where I want to begin in this first point, is that we're going to see that true friends, as the Proverbs speak, actually oftentimes are even closer than our own family. And I'll say this, you know the old expression, you can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends? My dad had a worse one growing up. He says, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. I don't know, that's just one of the things your dads say when you're growing up, I guess. But you know, you can't pick your family. But it's amazing, sometimes when you cultivate a relationship, the friendships that we can develop sometimes even grow into a relationship that it's as though they are family. Think about in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you think about siblings, Jack, do you and John ever have any sibling rivalry with each other? He's shaking his head. Brandon and I never had any sibling rivalry growing up. But no, when you look, just look through time in the Old Testament, when you look at Cain and Abel, they should have been best of friends. They were brothers, but it actually led to one rising up of jealousy and actually killing the other. When you look at Jacob and Esau, the same thing. You have deceit and trickery taking place until Esau is so angry, what does he want to do to Jacob also? He wants to kill him, doesn't he? And you see these kind of relationships, and you see the sons of David and the struggles they had. You see the sons of Jacob and the struggles they had between Joseph and one another. Sometimes our family relationships don't pan out the way that we wish for them to be. But when you have a true friend, someone who truly understands what God expects of us in our relationship towards one another, oftentimes you find someone that becomes like a brother or even closer than a brother, as we'll see. Think about David and Jonathan. And it said that David loved Jonathan like he loved his own soul. It was like they were knit together. And you would look at them and you might think they're just like brothers. And I think about, you know, my life growing up and those that maybe I went to college with for 4 years, and how within just 4 years, these close friends of mine became like brothers to me. And that's how we would describe our relationship. David King's really great about this. Whenever we finish a get together or something's going on, he'll say, "Thanks, fam." And that's his way of saying, you know, you're not just my friend, you're my brother. Proverbs 18, verse 24 puts it this way. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And these kind of relationships we're talking about, you cannot cultivate these kind of relationships with everybody. We're not talking about your 5,715 Facebook friends that you have, all right? We are talking about those select few, that handful, that would do anything for you and that you would do anything for them. That you have this reciprocal relationship of love towards another, that you're closer than almost even a brother. And that's the way that the proverb writer here puts it, that there is a friend who sticks closer than even a brother. And when you have a relationship like that, you've got to hold on to those relationships. Don't let them go. We're going to talk some more about that in just a few minutes. But there's one more passage that struck me in regards to this topic. And that is in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 10. This is really interesting. It says, "Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away." What does that mean? Well, let me illustrate this way. One of my mentors and one of my great friends is a man by the name of John Shirley, and you've heard me talk about him before, and he's out in Tampa. And he and I would spend a lot of time together, and I remember one of the things he always told me is there's nothing like being there for someone. And what he meant was, you know, we tell people, "Hey, I'm here for you," but there's a big difference between telling someone, "I'm here for you," and when something's going on, you being at their front door, literally being there with them, here for them. And this proverb is bringing out this truth that sometimes when things are not going well, when things are not going right, when calamity hits, we want to seclude to our immediate family and just those that, you know, we're related to. And here, the proverb writer is bringing out, when you have these kinds of relationships, where someone is like family, where they are there and they want to help you and love you, we need to allow those relationships to grow in that kind of a way. Don't shut people out, but let people in to help you. Just like we want people to let us in to help them in their time of need, in their time of despair. And this really is describing relationships that we should cultivate within the church, isn't it? Because what do we always say as a church? That we are a family. And when something's going wrong, when calamity strikes in someone's life, what do we just naturally expect to happen within the church, within that family? For people to flock to that individual, to help them, to be there for them. You know, tonight we're going to have a prayer group. And sometimes with the nature of different individual struggles, and this morning I just don't have words. After Bob got up and said what he did, I think all of us just left just humble and in tears and wanting to help them in any way that we can. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is to either be there for someone and then go to God on their behalf. And so I really want to encourage y'all. Marv and Sue are going to put on a big old feast as they always do, but then we're going to spend, you know, a couple hours in prayer. And we're going to pray for Pam. And we're going to pray for Megan. And we are going to pray solely for those two individuals tonight. We're just going to specify our prayers tonight. And we'll have one more round of requests, but we want to just lift up those two tonight. And that's a way that we can show our love for them and our friendship towards them, because we're a family as a church. The second thing that the Proverbs bring out that is going to tag along with this concept of friendship is when you look at true friends, true friendship is not superficial. And go back to what we looked at in Proverbs 17, verse 17. It says that a friend loves at all times. It's very similar to the vows that you enter into in marriage, isn't it? When you enter into a marriage relationship, you say that it is for better or for worse. Where marriages end is where people don't uphold that kind of relationship. They say for better or for worse, but really what they only mean is, if you can benefit me, for better. But if it gets worse, then I'm out of here. And that's never what God intended for marriage, but it's also never what God intended for our relationships with one another. Look at this sad picture in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4, and then we'll look two verses later at verses 6 and 7. It says, "Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend." What a sad statement that is, but isn't that true? When someone, and we've seen this before, I'll just bring out this silly illustration. I remember there was a meme going around. This man had won the lottery, okay? And it was the super mega millions, whatever it was. And what he took home ended up being like over $20 million. And this man who was had never dated anyone in his life, was in his mid-40s, suddenly had found the love of his life, this gorgeous blonde bombshell 21-year-old, right after he had won the lottery. And people started raising some suspicions about that. How could this almost 50-year-old man who's never been in a relationship, he wins $20 million, all of a sudden, all these women are flocking to him, right? And that's just a silly illustration, but unfortunately, that's sometimes how people operate in their friendships, aren't they? When there's something that you can offer me, or some way that I profit from our relationship, then all of a sudden, I want to be buddy-buddy with you, and I want to be best friends. But if being your friend means that actually you're going to have to depend upon me and you're going to need some help from me, then sometimes we're really quick to back off because we call people like that, well, they have baggage. Or we'll say, well, you know, they're high maintenance friends. Well, wait a second. We cannot be inconsistent like this. He goes on. The proverb writer, verses 6 and 7. "Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All of the poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but he does not have them." What a sad picture. And what this is describing is this absolutely superficial friendship, this superficial relationship where I will be close to you if I'm going to gain out of this relationship in some way. But if in any way you're going to actually cause me the opposite, or maybe I don't just gain anything from you, well, then I'm not so interested in you any longer. And that's not what our relationships are supposed to be about. If a friend loves at all times, just like you enter into a covenant marriage for better or for worse, when you enter into a relationship, a friendship with someone, and you are to love them at all times, it means in the times where things are going great and the times in which things are really not going so well. You've got to be there for them always. A friend loves at all times. And because of that, there's some other things that we can take from this. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friendships." How many of you in here have ever been and just a knockdown, drag-out fight with someone who you're really close to, one of your best friends. And we've all been there before in our life. How did you handle that situation when you look back at that disagreement that you went through? Because we're going to have sharp disagreements. Even Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement, didn't they? And it was so severe that they actually went separate ways for a good period of time, didn't they? But look at what this says. How did you respond? When you're wronged by someone, is your first reaction to go tell other people about what they did to you and spread that kind of a gossip? Or as a friend, even if what they did was wrong, is your first reaction to forgive them and protect their reputation because you know that they're better than that, than what they did? Even if what they did was wrong, even if what they did hurt you, hear the Proverbs say, if you're actually seeking love, if you're actually seeking to be a true friend, your first response will be to try to cover an offense, to work it out for reconciliation, to forgive them. To own it, yes, I got burned, and you know what? That's okay. That's what's going to happen in our relationships sometimes, is we're going to get burned. Our response should not be, well, you burned me, and so now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to burn you. When that happens, Proverbs say, that separates close friends. You could have something wonderful going. Someone who loves you and cares for you and vice versa. And when you decide you're going to exchange blow for blow rather than being willing to get burned, you are never going to keep a friend for that long. You will find yourself being someone who's a lonely person because you can never take a hit. On that note, true friends are always going to speak the truth. And this is tailored also with the idea of that true friends are not superficial, but they're real. In Proverbs 28, verse 23, it says, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Now, this is difficult in the culture that we live in today. Because the culture that we live in today is if you say anything that offends me, or anything that I don't like or don't agree with, whether it's true or not, then you're not really my friend. Isn't that what's promoted by our culture today, by our society? That your true friends are going to support you no matter what, right? That even if they don't agree, they'll just kind of turn a blind eye and just say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm here for you, you do what you want, I support you. You know what happens when that's the case? When you tell someone what you know they want to hear rather than what they need to hear, that's lying. How is that loving anybody? When you tell them what you know is a lie simply because you know that that's what they want to hear, rather than telling them, even though it is difficult, what they need to hear. Proverbs 27, verses 5 through 6. Better is open rebuke than, I love this expression, than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know, when you know that something's wrong, and when your friend comes to you and they're asking for help or they're asking for advice, and in fact what they need to hear is not what they want to hear, and you know it. When you only tell someone what they want to hear and you're afraid to offend them, you're afraid to tell them the truth in a loving way, then in fact you are withholding love that you ought to be giving to that person. It is like hidden love. And if we really are going to be true friends and love each other, then we're going to be willing to say the hard things in a loving manner, even if we know that it's not what they want to hear at the right moment. We have to do that as a true and honest and good friend. Because sometimes what we need to hear is going to hurt, isn't it? And isn't that Jesus was so good about this, where he would say something and the disciples would respond, and so would the Pharisees, offended. And they'd say, this is a hard saying. It was like Jesus had stabbed them with his words. It was a wound, but it was intended to be healing, because it brought attention to that there was an issue that needed corrected, and Jesus loved them enough to say something about it. And in my life, I think about all the times where someone told me what I needed to hear, even though it wasn't what I wanted to hear. You know, and you go through different stages. First, it's your parents, right? And you think growing up that your parents are so ridiculous, and then as you get older, you realize they just keep getting smarter, don't they, right? That's not how it works. It's kind of the opposite. Now, don't take that the wrong way. Opposite as in, you realize you were the dumb one. I'm just going to stop talking. All right, we're done. So, I got to be real careful with this next one, because then you get married, right? And I'm so thankful for my wife, because she loves me enough to tell me what she knows I need to hear, even if it's not what I want to hear all the time. And I think about specific, you know, instances in my life. I remember one specifically at Florida College, where there was this professor, Matt Johnson, and he's still there, and I love him so much. I didn't at the time, because I wasn't doing well in his class, and I wasn't doing well in a couple of other just personal areas of my life. And I thought that the problem had really nothing to do with me, because I was just too overwhelmed. I was doing so much that I couldn't possibly keep up with everything, and after all, that's not my fault. And I remember him sitting me down, and he said, no, the problem is you have a serious issue with saying no. Because every time you can't say no, every time you say yes, you need to realize this, you're saying no to something else. And I didn't really agree with him. He said, well, all right, keep doing what you want, but find out the hard way, and I'll flunk you. And that was the conversation we had. And amazingly, as things go on, it turns out, yeah, he was absolutely right. And I didn't know how to say no. And I didn't realize that every time I said yes to every opportunity that came up with everything, I was saying no to all these other things that I needed to be saying yes to. And that wasn't a good conversation. That wasn't an easy conversation. But it was a professor that was able to see things going a direction he knew they shouldn't go, and loved me enough to say something he knew I didn't want to hear. That's what a true friend does. But here's the thing. Every now and then, we get dull. And that's just the fact of the matter. We're going to need sharpened. We're going to need someone to help us out and say that which we don't necessarily want to hear, but they love us enough to say it anyways. But we've got to learn how to respond to those instances. We've got to learn, as a friend, how to take those. Because Proverbs 17, verse 10 says, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. We've got to learn how to take a blow. I want to use an illustration just for a moment. Do you remember the story in 1 Kings 12 and in 2 Chronicles 10 of King Rehoboam? And King Rehoboam, the people were reaching out to the king, and they were saying, please lessen the taxes and the burden that your father Solomon had put on us. And he spoke with the counselors and the elders, and what did they tell him to do? They said, listen to the people, and you lessen their load. And then he listened to his comrades, his friends, his peers, and what did they tell him to say? You show them that they had it easy under your father, that your little finger is thicker than your father's thigh. You'll show them how to rule. And so he goes to the people, and guess who he decided to listen to? He decided to listen to his friends, his peers, because they said what fed his ego, what fed his pride, what made him think like he was such a great and grand king, rather than listening to wisdom. He wasn't able and willing to receive that because it wasn't what he wanted to hear. And he listened to his friends. He told the people to get over it, and I'm going to really put a burden on you. And it actually led to a divided kingdom, didn't it? It led to destruction. Think about this in application to some of our relationships, your friendships. And maybe even more specific, I want us to think about your marriage relationship, because you ought to be friends with your spouse as well, not just, you know, this marriage covenant that you're in. And when you have a disagreement with your spouse, what's your first reaction to go do? Do you go run off to your buddies, you guys, and find people that are going to tell you, yeah, you're right. Yeah, she's wrong. You just keep doing what you're doing. You show her who's boss. You're the authority in the house. You make sure to keep your stand. You keep the pants on. Is that your first reaction? Wives, is your first reaction to run off to your girlfriends and to talk about your husband and how terrible he is and all these things that he does, and just for them to comfort you and, oh, you just have it so hard. I feel so sorry for you. You know, naturally, we try to gravitate towards people that will make us feel really good, that'll make us feel like we aren't doing anything wrong, and it'll make us feel like all the problems in our life have to do with everyone else around us. When you're having a struggle, don't seek out those that you know are just going to tell you what you want to hear. You need to seek out those persons that love you enough to tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth comes out in a very different way. There's been times where, you know, Kylie and I have had disagreements, and I've gone to someone and said, what's the problem? And I walked away realizing I'm the problem. And I'm thankful that someone loved me enough to look me in the face and say, you need to be the husband that God called you to be, rather than saying, yeah, you're right. Proverbs 11:14, when there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. In our relationships, true friends are going to speak the truth. And that means you're going to seek out the right kinds of relationships, the right kinds of friendships that are really going to love you and support you and tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. And that brings us to our final point. And that is that the Proverbs are very clear that we need to be very careful who our friends are and who we pick as friends. Proverbs 12:26 says, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. It's no different than what we read in the New Testament, isn't it? You can finish it. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Or in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And there's that word picture of being unequally yoked, that someone is pulling you along in the influence that they have. When we are making friendships and choosing our friendships, and those that we want to be close to, those that we want to let in, and those that we want to be involved with their life, who are you seeking out? Because so far too often, friendships in this world are so superficial, and they're based on things that really don't matter. People are friends because they have similar interests. And there's nothing wrong with having similar interests. We ought to have, you know, things that we do with each other. But if that's what your friendship is built on, that's not a reason to build a friendship. That's not going to be a true friendship that sticks closer than a brother. The kind of friendships that we ought to seek out are those that we know will love us in the good and the bad, are going to really be there for us, not superficial, that they're not just there to gain something from us. And in the same way that they're going to be able to tell us what we need to hear, tell us the truth, and other areas of their speech, that they're not going to gossip about us, that they're not going to slander us, all these ways. But more important, what kind of a friend am I going to be? Because it's very important to seek out those that are going to be a good influence and a good encouragement and a good friend for you. But it's kind of like an expression my dad used to tell Brandon and I before we were, married, and Brandon's dating a young lady. And he used to say, if you want Miss America, you better be Mr. America. And that always stuck with me, but it really rings in terms with friendships as well, isn't it? If you want to have good friends, people that love you in the good and the bad, people that will tell you the truth, people that will honor you and respect you, you know what you need to be first? You need to be that friend. And you need to be the one to reach out, the one to love at all times, the one to say what needs said in a loving way, even when it's hard. And that's a difficult thing to do. All of us have really great friends in this room, and some of you are some of my best and closest friends. But I have to look at myself and say, am I being that back? Am I doing that back? Final application. What about our relationship to Christ? Because as amazing as it is, we call Christ our Lord, but He also calls us His friends. And that's amazing to think that the Creator of this world, my Savior, my Redeemer, would look at me and call me His friend. But Jesus was a friend first. And it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. He is completely selfless in his relationship towards us. And in verse 15, what he requests then is, you are my friends if you do what I commanded you. Jesus is a friend to us. As we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. But the question that I have to ask myself is, does Jesus have a friend in me? Am I treating Him how He has treated me? Do I love Him like He's loved me? And if that is my standard of friendship, to reciprocate to Christ that which He has given to me, and then I use that in all of my relationships, then perhaps we might be able to cultivate relationships like what you read about in the Proverbs. There's so much more we could have talked about, but this is where we need to end for tonight. And I invite you to come back next week where Jack will continue in the series on Proverbs. Is that correct? In 2 weeks. All right. So, that's right. We have a singing next week. Come back in 2 weeks where you'll hear another lesson, other Proverbs. But come back next week anyway because singings are real good. We always want to offer an invitation. And Jesus Christ is your friend. And He loves you so much. And if you are here tonight in any kind of spiritual condition that needs His love and His grace and His help, desperately right now, if you have never known Jesus Christ as your Savior, then this is an opportunity to make that change tonight. You can confess Him as your Lord, repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, and rise to walk in newness of life. You'll be forgiven all your sins and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And also, for all of us as a family, sometimes Jesus is our friend because we pick up His words and He tells us what we need to hear even if we don't want to hear it. And we're convicted, we're cut to the heart. Hopefully, if we're the good soil like we talked about this morning, and we recognize I need to make a change in my life. And I don't know what that might be for anyone in this room. It might be some kind of secret sin. It might be a practice, a lifestyle that you've been walking that you know it's time to make a change. But whatever it is, if you have a need tonight and you need the prayers of this congregation, you want our support, our help, we are a family. And this is an opportunity to make that known. And let's do that now. And let's stand and sing the song of encouragement.